Here with Guy Waugh, who's going to talk about Daylight Robbery. Tell us about Daylight Robbery.
Daylight Robbery is a site-specific performance in the round at Basvik Sports Cafe. It's about a hold-up in a coffee shop, a gentleman who is high on caffeine and holds up the cast of the coffee shop. The cast of the coffee shop? The staff in the coffee shop at gunpoint.
And ZLS Theatre, which is your theatre company, if it had a signature, it's kind of immersive, different kind of theatre, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this show in itself isn't immersive. This show is it's site specific, but we're not involving the audience in it because it's set at closing time.
Yeah, but for me, if it's site specific, it's going to be immersive as well, isn't it?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, we have set it in the surrounds of the sports cafe, and the cast are wearing sports outfits and what have you as well. So yeah, I suppose in that respect, it is immersive to some degree.
What draws you towards immersive theatre and site specific theatre?
I mean, with this show in particular, I wrote it to be performed in a coffee shop because it's a very contemporary play, and a coffee shop certainly in Brighton are a key facet of our community. So initially we set it in a coffee shop. When I checked out potential venues, this was the best one in terms of capacity and facilities, and so we adapted the show ever so slightly to be in a sports cafe rather than a traditional coffee shop. I think the appeal of it is that it adds something a little bit different, and it means the audience aren't quite so passive. Although in this show they are watching from the outside, they're very much aware that they're in a cafe.
And you see a venue and you start thinking, oh, we could do something here, but how do you actually claim that venue for performance?
I guess the key thing is to look at whether it's going to work, whether the practicalities of the place will work for a performance. Looking at things like audience positioning, entrance and exits, and then discussing with the venue whether it's appropriate, whether they're happy with the content of what's going to be performed there, and finding out what else you can get from your relationship with that venue as well.
Yeah, so with Basvik, I mean, they've got their own performance space. Were they kind of like not surprised?
No, I mean, this is their first year in the Fringe, so they were very keen to use as many spaces as they could in the show. And when I started talking to them about the space I needed, they said, hey, we've got this cafe, come along and have a look at it. And yeah, they were very pleased with what we're doing with it.
And then there's writer. You know, when does writer have to step back and let everyone else take over?
Well, that's really interesting, because this is the first time I've written, directed and performed. And initially, I didn't want to do that. Initially, my idea was to cast the play. Although it had been written for myself and two friends, the two friends I originally wrote it for were no longer available. So I decided to step back myself and try and recast the part. But unfortunately, I couldn't find a suitable replacement for the character. So I decided, okay, I'm going to give it a go myself. There have been challenges, because when you're in a play, particularly when you're in the round and when you're directing as well, the challenge I had as an actor was trying to keep my act ahead on it and try and remain present in the space, while at the same time my brain's going, technically this isn't working, he needs to be over there, I need to be over there, she needs to be doing this, the audience can't see that, while my writer head is going, those words don't sound right, that needs to be changed, that needs to be finessed a little bit. So we resolved that in the end by bringing in an assistant director, who is a friend of mine, to watch it from the outside, which was always the plan in the first place. And she's been really, really helpful in bringing up the pace of the play and allowing me personally to flourish a bit more as an actor, and giving the cast a bit more confidence that there's someone on the outside watching it, and we're not all trying to direct it from the middle of the show.
And as a writer of comedy thriller, how do you get that balance right between comedy and thriller?
It wasn't a conscious decision. It was very much, I wrote it almost as a stream of consciousness. It was an idea that I came up with, a contemporary play about a guy holding up a coffee shop. And I kind of let it flow as it came out of my mind, really. I think I have a natural tendency to move towards comedy anyway. So whether I've found when I've tried to write serious pieces, the comedy always ends up coming out anyway. So I think there wasn't really a conscious decision towards that. It was like, well, this is a concept. Let's see what comes of it.
The final question. We're here in The Verdict, which is a coffee shop. I can look down to the door. There's a counter just on the left as you come in. How would you hold this place up?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you'd have to lock the door behind you, make sure everyone was at the opposite end, keep everyone's hands up in the air, make sure they couldn't see, make sure they weren't doing anything below the counter that, you know, might blow your cover. Yeah, I mean, I can't really say because the play's about a hold up that goes wrong. So I haven't really established how he'd actually do it successfully.
Well, the writer that's clearly done his research there. So Guy Wah, thanks very much.
Thank you.